Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Leo Climaco, who's a business acceleration specialist. He's also a speaker, author, business consultant, and philanthropist. Leo, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm so happy to be here. Very excited.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I always love learning from people. And the way that I just love positioning that as I start off interviews is, you know what? I'm an open book. You're an open book. Tell me about your experiences. Let's learn from each other. I think that is such a neat way to learn. And boy, from your introduction there in your bio, speaker, author, philanthropist, I want to hear about all of those things. So get us started with your story. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what your entrepreneurial journey been like to this point in your career.
Fantastic. So my name is Leo Climaco. I am 35 years old. I have an IT background for about 15 years. So I began working as an IT director for billionaire families in New York City. So I was in charge of everything from their iPads to the control system on their yachts or on their planes, their camera systems in their homes. I traveled to multiple homes to make sure that things were up to par, doing updates. So that was my life for a very long time. And I got to a point where I just got tired of working for somebody else to make them rich. And I really wanted something of my own. Something that I could build, that I could be proud of. So my entrepreneur journey began in about 2015. I was working for a billionaire named Hank Greenberg. He was a former CEO of AIG. I was his personal IT director. And at that time, I was really searching for something that can help me learn business. I had no business background. Nobody in my family is an entrepreneur. I knew no one that had built a business. I come from a very blue collar family. My dad's a very hardworking man. Very, very old school type of mentality where he thinks that working hard and education will get you to the place where you want to be. And I believed that too for a very long time until I realized that for me personally, I wanted more in life and that traditional route was not going to get me there. So I began searching for mentors and coaches online that could teach me the ropes on how to be an entrepreneur. Eventually, I came across a coach mentor named Timothy Mark. He had a group called the Secret Society Mastermind, SSM for short. So I joined SSM in 2015, and Tim was teaching this freedom-based entrepreneurship type of like a nomad, basically build a small business to get you enough money for you to go live your freedom dream life. And in 2015, I was not married yet. I had no kids. So that was really what I was looking for. I was looking for the freedom lifestyle to be able to do what I wanted when I wanted. So in 2016, actually end of 2015, I quit my job. I quit my six-figure job. I was enrolled with Tim, and I was determined to go build a company that was going to make me millions and millions of dollars. Funny thing was, I had a fiance at that time, and we were scheduled to get married May 2016.
That was a bold move.
Yes, extremely bold move. We clearly spoke about it. It wasn't something that that I did, you know, off the wind. I had some money saved up, and she had a very good job at the time, which allowed me to quit. So I spent the entire year of 2016 trying to build two companies. First, I tried to build a website slash app building company called Innovative Apps. And that took me nowhere really fast. 6 months later, I was pivoting to a drop shipping company, trying to sell espresso machines and coffee on a drop shipping method. That year, I lost so much money, but I learned so much about business and building a company and pushing through and failure. So I don't see it as a complete waste. I do see it as a amazing learning experience.
Yeah, it's kind of like they say, you know, you either win or you lose. But the real way to look at it is you either win or you learn. And that's exactly what you just described.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not failing. It's how many times did you figure out the wrong way?
Yep.
So I got to a point where I had no more money. I had spent all my money. I had invested everything into these two ideas that I didn't push through with. I got to a point where I got fed up and I quit. So I went back to work. Mm-hmm. I got another job as an IT director for another billionaire family. And I was there for about 2.5 years. But I think the good thing about it was I knew what to do and I knew what I wanted to do. I just required more capital to get it done. Yep. So I was able to plan myself. I was able to strategically plan myself to execute properly. So I saved up enough money. And coincidentally, during that same time, my wife had just graduated from Columbia, and with her master's in psychology for kids with special needs. She had also just obtained her license as a board certified behavior analyst, BCBA for short. So she has a license to modify the behavior for kids with autism.
Okay.
So at that time, she was working for a ton of agencies, and she just didn't like how the agencies were ran. They were very money driven. They didn't care about the clients. They didn't care about progressing the client's future or behaviors. So we got together and we built our own agency in 2018. Our agency is called Behaviors of NYC. We are a New York City based agency, and we were able to obtain a contract with the DOE Board of Education. So we do in-school and in-home behavior modification for kids with autism. It was really scary, exhilarating to start this whole process. Our first year and a half, we basically made not a single penny. I borrowed money from my parents, my in-laws, plus I had about $180,000 of my own money saved. And it took every penny plus more for us to get to where we are today.
One thing that I would ask is, you had those lessons learned from before. You went back and tapped into the well of your network you had built and picked up some work for 2.5 years. And then when the opportunity presented itself to do this new venture with your wife, now it's like 1 + 1 = 100. And so now you're ready to dive in together.
Exactly. We were both at a good mental space. We both had the right understanding. I knew the back end. She knew the front end. So we took that knowledge. We combined it. And 5 years later, we're a 7-figure agency helping close to 30 kids in New York City and growing.
So I love that story. And I love when you can serve kids. I love when you can serve kids who have developmental opportunities. I think that's really a huge win. Tell me a little bit about what specifically you do and what sets you apart, because I'm sure you have a competitor or 10. Everyone does. So when you go to a school system or a new region, what are you saying to them that you, what's your value proposition and what sets you apart from your competitors?
That's a great question. So I think the main thing that sets us apart is we provide a type of white glove, hand-holding type of care that other companies don't. So most companies, most agencies have therapists on a rotation basis, that it's basically, if you're an able body, then you can go to work. We don't follow that methodology. We evaluate each kid and we pair that kid with the right therapist for that kid. So I think one of our biggest issues in the beginning was figuring out how to quickly determine which therapist best fits with which kid. So it took us a while to hire, because we're trying to really cater to that kid. But once we got a grasp of it, once we had a procedure on how to evaluate and on how to hire, we were off and running. So that's really what sets us apart.
What's the secret sauce there, Leo, without getting in detail or personal, but is there like an assessment that both, you know, do you like link them up because, we did this assessment and the child is, you know, kind of like a Dix profile, a high I, or have you developed your own assessment where then once you now know the child has these specific needs, now we know who to go out and pair them with?
Exactly. So we do an 8-hour evaluation at home and in school. We take 2 days. Wow. We go into the school, into the home. We do a 16 hour total, 8 hours and 8 hours.
Wow.
And then we do a full report on the evaluation, basically outlining the child's behaviors, where the child falls on the spectrum, and what we think we can do to help this child. So based on that information, we're going to look for a therapist that has the strengths around where the kid's weaknesses are. That's exactly what we do.
You know, you think about these assessments out there these days where it's like check the boxes and click on the, rank yourself. And obviously the kid's not going to do that, but you could sit down and ask some questions. But let's just be clear here. 8 hours in the environment of the school and another 8 hours in the environment of home, that is thorough.
Correct.
And the assessment that comes out of that and presented to school parents and all the people involved, that has got to have them sit up and take notice and say, you guys care.
100%. And that's really how we're trying to distinguish ourselves with that level of care. With that level of love, as if it was our own kid that we were dealing with or working with, you know, if I was a parent with an autistic child, I would want an agency that would see that kid as my own kid.
Yep,
he's gonna have the same care for their own kids as my own kid, and that's exactly what we try to provide.
So what's the outcome and result when you are meeting with, let's say, the school teacher and parents, and you're presenting this report and you say, our findings are, our recommendations are, and here's what we would like to see done. And they all say, let's do it. In 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, whatever time frame, what is the outcome? What is the child going to be experiencing, and what are some of those tangible results that the parents will smile and say, you said you could do it and you certainly did?
So we do get a lot of pushback, depending on the school, depending on the school district. The school is really worried about money and funding.
Yeah.
So if we say we feel like this child requires 30 hours per week of service in home and in school, some schools will give us a pushback and asking why so many hours. And they really want us to prove our case. And we do 99% of the time. There are some cases where the school just really won't budge and we have to modify our hours, and we'll maybe take those school hours and add them to the home so the kid can still get the get that same number of hours, but just not being in school, it'll be at home. Okay. But to answer your question, the end result, let me just give you an example. We were working with twin boys. They were both 17. They were juniors in high school. They were about to become seniors. And the school system was very concerned that they were going to graduate and not be ready for life. Somehow these kids had just been passed on from grade to grade without really being evaluated and without anyone really seeing their condition and what their abilities were to navigate life. So we got involved and we were able to allow them to be in school until they're 23. This gives them 5 more years to be able to really grasp what it is to be a young adult. So these kids didn't know how to go to Dunkin' Donuts and buy a donut. They didn't know how money worked. They didn't know how to cross the street properly. So with a kid like that, we really focus on life skills and important information required for day-to-day life so they can be a functioning member of society. So at the end, the goal is that these two boys will graduate by 23 and have all the tools that they need to graduate and go get a job and go be as self-sufficient as they can be.
Yes. Yes. Can't work miracles, but let's show some quantifiable steps forward. That sounds excellent.
Exactly.
I love it. You know, we talked about you either win or you learn. So share a failure or breakdown during your time of either the first pass when you were doing the app company, and even when you merged into launching this company, there were some lessons and failures and breakdowns that you experienced. Tell us a little bit about a couple of those.
Plenty of that. So when I first began creating my app company, I was so naive. I had no idea what business was. I had no idea anything to do with taxes or LLCs incorporate. It was all gibberish to me. It made no sense. I think that was my biggest challenge. That was my biggest barrier that set me back in 2016, was not really having my head wrapped around what it takes to build a company, what it is to build a company, what is a company. I was so new to all of it. So it took me a really long time to be comfortable with that. And that's why I wasn't successful at that period of time. Mm. But let me give you a better story of failure. This was during COVID. So during COVID, it's my second year in business with Behaviors. And the DOE stopped paying us for close to a year.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good 9-10 months without it being paid. And the DOE at the time was maybe 70% of our clientele. We had a 30% clientele that was insurance-based. We currently no longer deal with insurance. We're only a DOE company as of now. But at that time, we were 70-30 split. And the DOE stopped paying us for a good 10 months. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't make payroll several times. I used every single penny I had to keep the company afloat. I borrowed money from my parents. I borrowed money from lenders. Eventually, the PPP loan kicked in and gave us some grace for a month or two. But in the back end, there was a good 3 to 4 months where I didn't run payroll.
Wow.
And I had no idea where that money was going to come from. I was literally in talks with my competitors to either sell my company or to sell off clients to these companies. It was a very, very scary time. I thought I was going to lose my company, but thankfully the DOE eventually paid me retroactively what they owed me for 10 months.
Wow.
And that allowed me to catch up and get back on my feet and keep pushing through. But during that time, I forgot to mention, we did not lose one single employee during that time. Every single employee that we had stayed on with us, even with us not paying them. I think the culture that we built in our company, our employees had the confidence that they were going to get paid eventually, and they did.
That tells me something very important, which is the culture and the deliverables you give to your clients, the children who have autism, was delivered the same way to your internal clients, which is your employees. You showed that you cared. You showed that you're on a mission to help both internal and external, and they felt that and they stuck with it, and that paid off. I think that's a huge testament to how you operate your business.
Thank you very much. Yes, it felt amazing to know that they had our back and that they were willing to go out and believe us and keep the faith alive that they were going to get paid. So we got paid, I believe it was January of 2021. So it was from April 2020 to January 2021 that we didn't get paid. Right in the thick of COVID. So eventually in January, once we did get paid, we rewarded all of our employees.
Yeah.
We gave them each a very nice bonus, and we threw a little party, a little end of year party for them, just to thank you and say our appreciation.
So you said that they kept the faith to stay on. Yeah, they sure did. But after you were smiling and waving and at the end of every day and week and month, how did you keep the faith? So share a little bit about how faith plays, you know, a role in helping you persevere through those challenges.
Faith played a huge role, a huge role. If I didn't believe in God, if I didn't believe in myself, if I didn't believe in my abilities, I wouldn't have made it. I truly believe that God helps those who help themselves. And what I try to do, my main personal goal in life is to be the best version of myself that I can be. I believe that if I create that energy and that environment, others will be captured by it and they'll want the same. So I believe that by me wanting to be the best person I can, wanting to be the best father I can be, wanting to be the best husband that I can possibly be, wanting to build the best company that I can build, gives me access to what some call the muse, right? The spirit of God, the word of God. And I just believe that if I didn't have that type of faith, if I didn't have that type of belief, I wouldn't be where I am today. There's this great book by Napoleon Hill called 3 Feet from Gold. And that book basically saved my company, because the stories told in that book are about people who are in similar situations that I was in, and they were so ready to quit and give up, but they kept persevering, they kept pushing through, and they broke through. So that book gave me strength, gave me I guess the words and the tools to be able to know, no, I am knocking on this door. I am going to break through. I am not going to allow my company to fail. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that this company stays alive so I can help as many people as I can.
I love it. And you know, I think that it sounds trite to say now looking back on it, but having that faith and that resolve in the midst of that, that's where the rubber meets the road. So what would you say when you were going through that and you were kind of motivating yourself and maybe, you know, keeping your goals in front of you and affirmations and all the different things, there were some mini wins and victories. How would you say those little mini wins led you to even more success to get to the next level?
The mini wins are everything, you know, they're like the cherry on top, because when you're working to build a company, there aren't many measurements that you can look on a daily basis that you can say, oh, okay, I'm progressing. I'm doing the right thing. This is going the right way. There aren't many of that. So when you receive these little wins, you got to cherish them. So for example, a huge win for us was finally getting the right director to help us grow the company. For a long time, my wife and I were just doing it ourselves, and we were working too much in the business, not on the business. Mm-hmm. So finally hiring a clinical director that was able to take 85 to 90% of the load off of our back so we can grow the company was a huge win for us. It allowed us to gain our time back so we can focus on other things to make the company better. Little things like that. Another big win is when, personally, I love when my part-time employees want to become full-time employees. I think those are really big wins for the company and for the culture, because it means that they enjoy the company, they like what we're doing, and they want to be here for a long time. So we provide a full-time package that most agencies don't. We pay for your full health insurance. We give you 2 weeks vacation. We make sure to take care of our employees. So in return, they'll take care of us.
I love it. You know, when we think back at some of the struggles that you mentioned, there was probably 38 more struggles and failures that you didn't mention, right? I mean, there's always more.
For sure.
But if you could go back with the magic wand and erase them all, would you do anything differently? Or would you say those were the things that made us stronger?
That's a good question. So I would do one thing differently. I would have borrowed more money.
Wow.
Yeah, I would have borrowed more money. Cash flow is king. I really believe that. And being 9 months without being able to pay my employees taught me so much. It taught me the value of cash. It taught me the value of savings and having money in the bank account. Because I had a little over 100 grand saved at that time, and it was nothing. We blew through that in like 3 months.
Wow.
So I really, if I could do one thing differently, it would be I would have borrowed way more money.
But borrowed it wisely, measured, calculated,
100%.
With a plan.
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
Correct.
Not just borrow it and blow it, borrow it and put it to good use to get your stability and to get your business to the next level. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. It would be strategically borrowing in order to benefit the company and the growth of the company.
Yep. With the end in mind, all of those cliches that we want to hear begin with the end in mind. But yeah, that's a really interesting comment. You know, how would you do things differently? Hey, give me all the pain, give me all the lessons, but I would have borrowed more money before you needed it. We can get into a whole other conversation about, you know, it seems right. Like when you need the money, that's when you can't get it. So borrow the money a step before you desperately need it so that you can actually get it and then put it to good use. You know, you've talked about a few of these attributes, Leo, about, you know, perseverance and things like that. But what are some of the key attributes someone listening to your story you know, because maybe this is going to be something that someone can learn from and be encouraged by. What are some of the key attributes that people need to understand and implement so they can overcome some of the unforeseen issues that come up in their personal and professional life?
I love this question. I really believe that in order to overcome unforeseen issues, you have to be able to have the courage to look fear in the face and keep going. I think a lot of people allow fear, doubt, overthinking to stop them from pursuing their dreams. I'm a big believer that everything that you want is on the other side of fear. So I do believe that understanding what your weaknesses are, understanding what your fears are, and going towards it, choosing to go towards it and facing it. I think that's a big attribute to you becoming successful and to you resolving unforeseen issues, because fear can stop you from doing a lot of things. It can stop you from thinking clearly. It can stop you from making the right decision. And it can really cloud your emotion and judgment.
Face the fear, because most of the time it's like that acronym, false expectation appearing real. It's probably not as real as you think. So face it, move through it, be confident and persevere.
Right. 100%. Like what happened to me was one of my biggest fears, you know, not having the money to pay my employees, not having the money to keep my company alive. That was one of my biggest fears. And it happened and I survived it and I pushed through it.
Even though it wasn't due to your mistakes. That was the Department of Education not paying a bill.
Out of my control.
Right.
100%. I had nothing to do with it. Like, I was running my company the way that it should have been ran and I wasn't being paid. Right. I had no control over it.
But you took ownership of it and rallied the troops, pushed your crusade mission forward, and was rewarded.
Exactly. That there was no way that I was going to allow something else to determine the fate of my company. I just wasn't going to allow it. This was my company. This is my child. This is my responsibility. So I had to do something in order to make sure that it kept going.
I love it. Well, kind of brings me to the point of landing the plane here, and I want to wrap it all up in a nice pretty bow. We've talked about struggles, we've talked about lessons learned, and your, you know, really vision, mission, crusade that you're on. What's your why? Why do you do it all? And maybe that ties into the philanthropist aspect of your, you know, opening title. So tell us a little bit about your why and your purpose.
That's a great question. My why is my family. So I'm an immigrant. I came from Brazil. I was born in Brazil. I immigrated to the U.S. in New York when I was 7 years old. And I feel like I was given this golden ticket. I have probably 15 different cousins, tons of aunts and uncles back in Brazil that could only dream of having the opportunity that I've been given in my life to grow up in America, to live in America, to have the freedom that I do. So my why is my family, and I want to give back to as many people as possible. I am putting together a foundation to be able to help as many people as I can. That is really my why. I'm very blessed. God has blessed me with amazing talents and opportunities, and I want to give back to those who may not have the opportunities that I've had in my life. That's really my why.
I love it. And opening or starting that foundation, that just, you know, personifies the giving back. aspect, because your why could be your family, and you're going to make a lot of money for your family doing this great business with these children that have your need for your services. But now you're taking it to the next level, creating that foundation so other people can contribute to help that vision along.
Correct. So one thing I forgot to mention on my right after college, I was a bit lost. I didn't know exactly which path to go. And there's a company called Perscholars in the Bronx in New York, and they do free IT training. In order for you to get certified as a A+ certification tech, what they require of you is a 4-month commitment for you to go every single day. And then they teach you how to be a computer tech. And then once you are done, you graduate and they job place you. Going through that program changed my life. It allowed me to have a certification that catapulted me into working for billionaires eventually. I want to rebuild that. I want to give that back to anyone who needs it. I think especially in America, there's a deficit in trade schools. There aren't enough trade schools. I really want to create a system where people can be trained for free, be job placed at the end of it in order to catapult their careers, in order to build a successful life that they dream of.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's really my dream.
Spectacular. I love it. You've got such an encouraging story. Leo, if someone wants to learn more, reach out with you, find out about what you've got going on, what's the best way they can connect with you?
The best way to connect with me is to go to my site, Leo Climaco. Climaco is spelled CLIMACO360.com. So once again, that's Leo Climaco360.com.
Leo, thanks a million for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate you. I love the work that you do, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.